All right, 15 for 15. It's our it's inspired by the ESPN 30 for 30 series. You know, they were on the air for 30 years, and so they chose 30 significant events that helped shape ESPN and did 30 different documentaries. We have been on the air for 15 years.
Almost.
And so
16.
We've chosen 15 significant events or topics from our first 15 years on the air that helped shape what you are listening to right now. One of those things was a very small part of the long timeline. For just a few months, and I don't even know how many people know this, Corby, the snake, was a member of our show. And that is what this month's 15 for 15 is all about.
What if I told you that an abrupt blip in ticket history would have an enduring impact on the course of sports radio forever? What if I told you that a hippie, who went to TCU and lived around Dallas for a long time, would briefly be paired up with a couple of carpetbaggers? This is 15 for 15. Corby on Bad Radio. The year was 1999. Bad Radio with Bob Sturm and Dan McDowell had been holding down the noon to three spot on the ticket since June. But as winter approached, Chris Arnold was left out in the cold. This left his producer, Corby Davidson, a man without a radio home.
Norm was going to come over and bring Frito with him. And so I was basically out of a job. And but the station wanted to keep me around in whatever capacity. And so, yes, before they officially brought Norm over, they asked Bob and Dan to do 5 hours. And they asked me to just join in with them.
Everyone behind the scenes knew that Norm was going to take his spot at some point. He worked up at Cliff, and he would take over 10 to noon at some point. But that wasn't going to happen for an undetermined amount of time. I think it turned out to be 4 months or so, where we were responsible for doing 10 to 3. So we filled in for Norm, basically, or we just took the 10 to noon time slot, and we were given Corby. You know, you have 2 extra hours, but you have this extra guy. See what you can do.
We're still trying to get our bearings. I'm still trying to figure out if I like Dan. Dan's still trying to figure out if he likes me. But now this happened, and this really came out of nowhere because, seriously, our show had not been on the air for 6 months. And so things happened. It was all a blur, but it started really quickly, almost like when Rocco got fired the year before, that we need you to just come in here and cover this shift, and we'll figure it out as we go. So we came in, and we started doing 10 to 3 on a regular basis with Corby.
Jeff Catlin.
I think Corby was a man without a country, kind of. So when Chris Arnold quit, there was a lot of behind-the-scenes maneuvering. Part of that was what was going to be the plan from 10 to noon. Was Norm going to get moved to the ticket? Those things tend to take a long time. Meanwhile, we had Corby there with nothing to do. I do believe also that this was the time where Gordo was still working on the hard line several days a week. So there wasn't really room for Corby on the hard line. So, you know, if Gordon's on the morning show every day, he's on the hard line a couple days a week. The only show without a quote-unquote third wheel was Bad Radio, and that's where Corby came in.
You know, at the time, what year was that, 99, 2000? Me and Bob and Dan are all about the same age. This is pre-kids. We all had an infinite amount of time, it seemed like, to come up with ideas to fill 5 hours, and it was awesome. Like, we were bubbling with stuff, and it was really, really fun.
You know, he is the kind of guy who's kind of up for anything. He's a great radio guy. He really, although the Corby bragging montage is famous, he's really willing to make himself look like an idiot at any time and doesn't really care about image or, you know, he would never have sued Regonk.com if that would have come up with him. It was an era where everybody was looking to prank everybody. And I feel like Corby pulled off 3 or 4 pranks during his small time on the air with us that are still talked about today. Bits off the top of my head. I remember his Pierce Brosnan interview.
I would get sent all these movie clips over and over for whatever, you know, movie these stars were in. And someone sent me a cassette tape with Pierce Brosnan for, I don't even know what movie it was. And so it was just an interview with him. And so what I did is I ripped off all of his quotes. Whoever was doing the interview, you know, took their voice out of it. I ran it through like a processor so it would sound all kind of normalized. So it would sound kind of even that we were in the same room.
And I think what we learned in our interaction, and it probably was less than 3 months, honestly, that we were together. But I learned very quickly that I must be the most gullible person ever, because some of the pranks involved, including a Pierce Brosnan prank, was basically to prove that I would believe anything.
How you doing?
I'm pretty good. Oh, thank you very much. Fresh from the Tonight Show.
So, you know, I hear that you always dreamed of being Bond or being in the Bond films since you were just a little kid.
As Bond? No, I didn't. I mean,
Come on,
I read.
That's my softball question. That's one of the things I remember the most because it shocked Bob so much. And I don't even, it was something but question about a box or something like that.
Was she the hottest girl you've ever worked with? I mean, you've worked with tons of good looking chicks. I know. I've seen, you know, most of your movies. And also, did you get, you know, a little sneak peek at
most of your movies? Name one.
Little private areas down there, you know, her box, if you'd let me call it.
What?
Just accidentally bump into her box, you know, just for grins. Because I will.
I don't feel it. I don't feel the box around me because I just can't allow that box to be there. You know, you have to make peace with that box when it is there and just say, okay, well, don't sweat it. Just go with the flow.
I thought that this was my path, and whatever path I was taking, it was going to begin right here as far as doing on-air stuff. I mean, I did on-air stuff with Chris, and he basically let me do whatever I wanted and talk whenever I wanted, but this was totally different as far as them being open to anything and everything, and I had a million things running through my head at the time as far as how to incorporate interviews in there and bits, and we started doing E! News. It was Dan's idea to do an entertainment segment every single day, and his idea to use Flashlight, and so all that was spawned when we were doing 10 to 3.
It's not like that big of an idea, actually. But, yeah, we had 5 hours, and how do we fill 5 hours with Corby? Well, what can we have him do? Let's create a couple of benchmarks. And I thought, well, you know, when I was in Dayton 6 months ago, I had a four-hour show, and I was filling it by myself, and one of our benchmarks was entertainment news. We just needed a long music bed to where it would fill our whole 10-minute segment, and we used the song Flashlight. And then we pulled that out here, and then I guess Corby took it from the 10 to 3 slot and took it to the Hardline. And so what once was born in Dayton, Ohio in 1997 lives today in Dallas, Texas.
So once we get a little Flashlight going here, step inside the Copenhagen room, and here he is, Dallas Radio's most abrasive, polarizing, over-the-top personality. Here's Cobra.
Yeah, the number one thing in their 16 years is bringing a song to a 10-minute segment every day. although to Dan's credit, that was brilliant because it, I mean, he goes, hey, what about this song? This is a great song. It's Flashlight, you know, and from Parliament, and I go, I don't know, you know, we'll see, maybe it'll work, maybe it won't, and like from the very first day, I'm like, wow, that's the perfect song, and then we stole it.
Off-air Corby, I knew him as one of the guys who's down with pot. Can I say that in this day and age? I think it's okay. Back then, it was, isn't it weird to talk about pot like that? Back then, back in my day, it wasn't so wild and open. As it is now, as far as people admittedly freely were one of the guys. So it was like, you know, are you okay? Clearly, Corby was, you know, he gave all the signs of being cool with it. He had hair down to the middle of his back, literally. Have you ever seen pictures of that? I mean, he is unbelievable. All he talked about was, it seemed like, was the Grateful Dead and going to their shows. So I felt a kinship with Corby right away.
It quickly occurred to me that despite everyone being my age, that I was on the outside looking in on a few conversations. And I remember I want to say Davy Lane was invited up, and they had like the mother of all Simpsons trivia game shows or something like that. And Corby and Dan and Davy Lane, it was like watching the 96 Bulls play, because they all knew every Simpsons episode by heart.
One of the best pranks I think he was involved in was the Rich Phillips prank. And the Rich Phillips prank involved Corby was on a road trip with the Cowboys, and his job was to get sound. And you know how these ticker guys are. They can't just read you a 15-second story. They also need, you know, you can't just have a story that Tony Romo is looking forward to this season. You have to have Tony Romo confirming that with an actuality.
You fly back from those games, and you're supposed to have this treasure trove of audio. And it was a night game, Monday night game, Sunday night game, something like that. And so, yeah, I came in and was, you know, like,
we got nothing.
What? What happened?
First of all, I went down to visit the guys' flight-out crew.
Yeah?
And someone, in the process of me going down there, ripped off my... There's only thing I can figure out. It was tied onto my jacket. Ripped off my press pass.
And he pretended to Rich that he had no audio, that it all got erased. And that doesn't seem like that big of a deal, but to a ticker guy who's responsible for audio throughout the day, it was a huge deal.
We can't just go with two cuts.
See, this cord right here, no, because I don't know that we're going to have that, but this cord right here was what you should use for a Moran. I got to get to work.
We really need him that bad?
Yeah, we do.
So he's telling me to go to K104 now. And this is me coming and telling him, well, I'm going to go over there, but I can't come back until 10 or something like that. So here we go.
What if I just bring it back at 10?
No.
10:30.
I think they're ready to play us as well as we're ready to play them.
I'm going to call Kat or Bruce and ask them what they think.
Well, I'm not telling them what happened. It won't do us any good if I bring it back at 10?
No.
Oh, I'm so f***ing tired, though. Cool. I think preparing for the show is more important than ticker cuts.
All right.
So you're trying to egg him on. He's just not
biting. He is irate, but he won't say anything. I mean, he's not even looking at me. Why don't you tell Kat and Bruce about that?
Now you're big time in the tickers too. Where you just
tell the
just,
program director
they're just tickers. I mean, what's the big deal?
Yeah, and then I'm like, dude. And it's 5 a.m. and I'm like, well, I got a show to prepare for. You know, I got the Bob and Dan show to prepare for.
And he went off on Corby and screamed at him and blah blah blah. And then Corby revealed, I think, that it was a prank. And Rich Phillips was pissed.
Don't bother. Well, if we wait until 10 o'clock, it's a fucking waste of time.
Why?
Well. Don't worry about it. I got another shit to be worried about right now.
Dude, I'm joking.
I don't find any of this fucking hilarious. Could you please get it taken care of? Yeah, I don't find it funny.
No, I'm joking with you about the whole thing.
What whole thing?
The whole thing's a joke. I have everything.
Well, I don't find any of it funny.
It is funny.
No, it's not funny. Have you got anything in here or not?
Yes, I've got a couple of jam
cuts. Well, thanks for fucking making my... Go do your job, please.
What?
I don't find anything funny right now, okay? I'm way behind.
Oh, you have this... It's 5:20.
Dude, I have less than one page written for a 5-minute cast.
The big 5:30 cast!
The true big one.
Yeah.
5:35 a.m.
You finally got him. Now... Rich Phillips joins us for a second here. Rich?
Hello, Bad Radio.
Hang on, would you?
And somehow Rich turned it around on Corby to where he got him to believe that he had erased the entire prank, and he did it to teach him a lesson to not mess with the audio. And Corby then got totally pissed and went off on Rich.
I called Corby over there to drop a little bad news on him right then.
I know what you did, and you're not getting it on the air.
What?
I got rid of it.
What?
I got rid of it.
Why?
Because I didn't appreciate that.
It was a prank.
And I got rid of it.
Why?
Because I didn't want it on the air.
Oh, really?
you came in and said that you didn't get any tape or your machine malfunction or whatever. Did you throw a big fit?
No.
So I got rid of it.
Why'd you get rid of it?
I felt like it.
Oh, you're so dead.
By the way, Corby, wait, Corby, come back.
What?
Be sure you go back and edit out and bleep out the f***s in that other one, too. And why don't you put this one in there?
Hey.
Put what one?
Read,
you.
Rick. Hey, man.
You.
Oh, you.
You know what? Rich reversing the whip makes this the bit of the millennium.
Yeah.
All right, thank you.
Very good, dude.
Well, that's impressive, Rich.
Put that in your 5-minute ticker tomorrow.
I barely remember that Corby was on our show. Seriously. That was a weird time. I mean, it was our first year ever, and I was just worried about my own thing, kind of, and they all of a sudden throw Corby on our show. But then, looking back, it was a pretty powerful few months.
To this day, I am convinced that at the start of the run of Corby with our show, Mike and Greg were not sure about Corby on their show. And after a couple months, I think they felt quite differently and rightfully and properly grabbed Corby for their show. And, I think we helped make that happen. We didn't necessarily want it to happen because we thought Corby was so awesome. But obviously it turned out really well, but pretty crazy little time that really was all blur.
I think being on Bad Radio showcased Corby's potential. And of course, everybody hears it. Mike hears it. But also at that time was probably the start of some deeper seated rifts between Grego and Mike. Not that they weren't getting along, but, you know, just that seed is planted somewhere in there. And Corby also then becomes a guy on that show that both of those guys can play off, but also acts as a buffer between them.
But I thought for sure that was the end game for me because we got along so well and the chemistry was there and lots of fun and yucks. And basically the end of it was Bruce Gilbert, who was our program director at the time, came up and asked me, hey, we had a meeting. Are you enjoying what you're doing? I'm like, I love it. Awesome. And he goes, well, how would you feel about working with Mike and Greg? And I'm like, I don't want to. And he goes, that's really not a question.
Whether it was brilliant, planned audition, or just a random brief bit of cosmic radio magic, Corby's fleeting stint on Bad Radio played a key role in the development arc of the show. A role that is often overlooked, but was worthy of celebration. Here on 15 for 15. Oh, I
will never die. Yay!
Great work. That reminded me. I forgot we used to do it, but...
The 5-minute cast. That's when we were making fun of them.
Oh, man. So it was 2000, the year 2000, and probably January when that Rich bit went down.
Mm-hmm.
That reminded me we were doing Bit of the Millennium because whatever we did would become, you know what I mean? We had only been, it was like the Rockies record book, the Colorado Rockies. You know, in their first couple of years, you would always say, oh, he's got the Rockies record for home run. Well, this is now the Bit of the Millennium because it's January 20th. And it's better than what we did last week. So,
that was back in the time when Ronan was big.
Ronan. I believe he went to a Halloween party as Ronan. Yeah, that was good times. Corby on Bad Radio.
Nice job, Jake. Nice. Donnie, you on this one as well? You're
yes,
on the
sir.
Credits.
Yes,
anyone
sir.
Else we need to credit on this? The OD?
God.
Nice job, guys.
And God. All right, right now. It's a soundbite. We got a God soundbite.
He's thinking himself.
Right. 2-4